This is Real Moms 2 Podcast. We are the podcast for the mom who is looking to connect with other relatable, empathetic, authentic, liberated moms. Welcome to your virtual mommy village. If you love what you hear, leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And if you really, really love us, leave a comment. Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Real Moms 2. That's T-O-O. Hey everyone, it's still Black History Month, and this is your favorite co-host, Alana P, and I'm with
CSC.
Welcome to Real Moms 2. Today you're in for a treat. A lot of moms have been asking us about getting a doula. Mm-hmm. Should they get one? Is it important? Is it necessary? So we decided to bring on co-founder and CEO of Restoring Our Own Through Transformation, aka Root, mm-hmm. which is a nonprofit. Black women-led reproductive justice organization. We have brought on Jessica M. Roach. So we are so excited. She has so much knowledge and information about doulas, the difference between that and a midwife, ways that they support the community while also supporting the family, and teaching moms how to be advocates for themselves. Hope you enjoy this episode to continue our Black History Month theme. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for joining. Today we have an amazing guest, Ms. Jessica Roach. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
She is with an organization called The Root, which stands for Restoring Our Own Through Transformation. So thanks for joining us, Jessica. And if you don't know what that is, how many of you are out there who have been wondering, should I get a doula? What is a doula? And Jessica is here to answer those questions.
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us, Alana did a little brief introduction, yeah. But tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Root.
Sure. Probably easier to start with what we do at Root.
Okay.
So if that's all right with you, because it's pretty much, it describes a bit of who I am.
Okay.
So Root is a Black woman-led reproductive justice organization dedicated to addressing the issues surrounding Black maternal, infant, and family health. We say that very specifically because we are about the stabilization of Black families and addressing some of the health concerns that are very specific to our community, meaning not just what we talk about in regards to like health disparities or the health gaps that we have with Black maternal and infant mortality and morbidity, but really getting down to the root causes of those, which are looking more at like the structural issues, structural institutional racism that mm-hmm. has created what we call the social determinants of health.
Okay.
So we, our organization deals with that in several different arms. One of them is direct service. The other is policy and advocacy. And then the third is education. And I'm always really quick to like jump in when it comes to the education part, because the education isn't necessarily about us as a people,
okay.
even though we do have information that we need to share and exchange, uh-huh. because we believe that we have the tools, meaning we as the broader community, to be able to address our health issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the education component really comes into play with some more formal trainings and specifics to healthcare professionals so that we can deal with some of the health communication and really like reverse the whole idea around race as a health risk factor and really deal with racism as a health risk factor.
Gotcha. Okay. Go ahead, Alana.
No, this is great. And I love the name, first off, because I'm an engineer by trade. And so okay. one of the questions they're always asking is, what is the root cause? So
right.
I really love the name of your organization.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, is Root everywhere, or are you just in Ohio, Columbus? Or
it's a good question. So right now, our direct services, which is our perinatal support doulas,
mm-hmm.
Our direct services are specific to Central Ohio, mainly.
Okay.
We do have some clients that we see that are outside of what we consider our 100-mile radius. We try to stay within that area. We do have some clients that we see, but we really do our best to make sure that if we have clients that contact us that are outside of our direct service area, we connect them to other Black birth workers, either throughout the state, or we've also gotten calls from folks that are in other states, and we try to connect them with folks there as well. We're able to do that because we're also within what's called the Black Mamas Matter Alliance, which is 20 9 kindred partners at this point. Wow. Of different organizations that are similar to ours throughout the country that are doing various levels of work, whether it be in policy, education, or direct service like we do. So we're able to really have a great repository, I guess, of folks that we can work with. But then when it comes to our policy, advocacy, and education, we actually do that nationally. So we've had opportunity to be able to do grand rounds at the University of California, San Francisco. We've worked with Toledo Healthcare Systems. We just most recently did work with the National Birth Equity Collaborative in Atlanta, Georgia for Kaiser Permanente. So that's just to give some examples of some of the work that we do. And then we're also on the Black Maternal Health Caucus for Ohio. So we're working state legislation to try to push forward some of the issues that we have and to address them directly specific for Black families and Black mamas.
Okay.
Awesome. So what she's telling our listeners is they're the bomb.com.
They're the bomb.com. And not only are they the bomb.com, but if you need someone, you're not in Ohio, she can help you find one. They're everywhere.
Yes.
So that is comforting to know. But let's jump right into it.
Okay.
Sure.
And I have 3 children.
Yes.
By the time I had my 3rd child, there was a midwife in the hospital, the nurse, practitioner, my actual OBGYN, you know, person that actually delivers the baby. And then I kept hearing this term about a doula. But I kept saying, what is a doula? And what's the difference between a doula and a midwife? And I just had no idea.
Sure. Yeah. And that's an interesting question, too, because I'll also say that, like, not all doulas are the same. So it really has to do with what it is that's individual needs, how our doulas operate. Doulas are not midwives and they are not OBGYNs. Mm-hmm. They are support persons.
Okay.
And there are various levels of support that doulas can offer. Some doulas are just basically there for more of like the birth setting. Okay. Some doulas do postpartum care only. Some doulas like ours, are perinatal support persons. And so to expand that, what we do really is not only preconception care. So we do comprehensive sexual and reproductive health education with youth and their parents. That's important. We make sure that it's both. And then we also work with folks that come to us from the beginning of their pregnancy. So oftentimes we'll have folks that come to us before they can even get into a doctor's appointment. And we're able to help get them into a doctor's appointment so that we can at least get started with taking a look at their home environment, their nutrition, you know, things that like, you know, the common stuff of I'm having really, really bad morning sickness.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and address that right now because there's some things that we can do and there's some tools that you can use to help reverse that. As quickly as possible. So we try to do those things. Our perinatal support doulas, therefore, are trained in a much more extensive training capacity.
Okay.
So they're literally classroom time can be 60 to 80 hours, depending upon the content of the material and how quickly we're able to get through it, because that's a lot of time.
Yeah, it's a lot of time to be with one family or mother.
Well, no, that's like their certification.
Oh, wow. For the doula.
So they have to go through that portion to go through their certification, and then they go through an extended apprenticeship phase with us where they're attached to a direct mentor.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
And then they start with families, and when they start with families from the beginning, we typically have at least 20 encounters, and that's through a various levels of means. It's either through direct home visits, phone calls. Mm-hmm. We utilize Zoom, trying to get more into like the telemedicine aspects so that we can have more of expanded conversations. But we really have a significant amount of touch points. And the way that we describe it is that we're part of the perinatal care team.
Okay,
so when you can only see your OBGYN or your care provider once a month, and it's typically for 15 to 30 minutes, we're there in between in the gaps to be able to help discuss not only what was discussed inside of your physician's appointment, but then also to be able to talk about things that you may need specifically. What are your needs? What are your voice concerns?
Uh-huh.
What would you like to have from this pregnancy and your birth experience and your postpartum care? And we wrap that all into what the overall care is that we give. So.
Okay. So do you all work with the physicians or just the family?
Oh, no. We work with the physicians as well, but we also want to be really clear. We're hired by the family. So we are there to represent and to care for and to help have a successful outcome.
Okay.
And a successful outcome based upon what the families think is the most successful outcome for them.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we work directly for them, but we do work with They're service providers. All of our doulas have to go to at least one. We say that the requirement is that you go to at least one physician's appointment. That's not really what happens in reality. Uh-huh. In reality, they end up attending like pretty anywhere between four and eight of the appointments.
Awesome.
Not necessarily always early on. We'll do like the first one for like initial meet and greet, just to let the physicians know we're here, we're working mm-hmm. with the family, we want to be able to keep up with what's going on. We will ask for labs. We want to be able to make sure that we're deeply engaged in what's happening so that we can assist the family in mm-hmm. answering their questions. But then towards the end, we're typically there almost every single visit.
I love this. For moms who are listening who have not had children yet and you are thinking about getting a doula, what she said was very important in the beginning, because sometimes you can't get into your first appointment until you have already been 9 or 12 weeks.
Yes.
And so if you've been having symptoms and you don't really know what's going on and you're just kind of waiting around in limbo, this would be a good opportunity for you to reach out to a doula, create that relationship, and start to get, like she said, some of those sicknesses or things you may have addressed.
And we only work with families of color and Black families.
Okay.
And we're really specific about that, because when you're talking about health equity, if you're going to establish health equity, you have to be able to give the resources to the community that needs the most. And so when we're talking about dealing with quote unquote health disparities, which I don't even like utilizing those terms, because I'm always like, I'm not minor and I'm not in despair. And neither are my people, right?
Yeah.
But we're really clear that it's about making sure that it's for us, by us.
Yeah.
And so not all doulas do. not all doulas do the same type of work. And that's okay, too.
Okay.
Because some families don't necessarily want to have that level of engagement, mm-hmm. right? They don't mm-hmm. want to necessarily have. Like, we're good, you know, we're good, and we just want to have somebody there for the birth, or maybe they just want some consultation in the beginning mm-hmm. and then want to continue on with themselves, and that's okay too. We can either meet families where they are and do those types of services as well, or we will refer to other Black doulas here in the city that do different types of work as well. So we also have that type of list as well, because as far as we're concerned, it's going to take all of us to be able to really address what we have
going on. Bringing the village to the home.
Absolutely.
Now, how long, you say you kind of are with, you essentially are, you will be with the mother or the family if they want you to throughout the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
So post-delivery, about how long do you support the family?
We have the capacity and we prefer to be able to support the family up to a year. Wow. And we know that that looks different for each family. Like it might be several visits during the first few months and then kind of get less and less, like maybe once a month at that point or mm-hmm. more phone calls and text messages. But we prefer to go for at least the first 12 months. We have the capacity to be able to serve families up to 5 years if necessary, depending upon whether or not there are any types of concerns or issues with the child, mm-hmm. if there's any type of developmental delays or anything like that that might need to be addressed, because we also have an education specialist that is
wonderful.
On our staff. And so we're able to help with developing those individualized plans. But, it's hard for me to describe it in that way, because mm-hmm. the reality is I've been doing this for close to 20 years.
Okay.
And so I'm now at the place where I have families where their child's getting ready to have a child.
Oh, that's
right?
So sweet.
Or I have families that we still talk with one another, you know, and their children are 13, 14
wow.
years
I
old. So for us, it's really about developing and establishing these generational relationships.
So when you say you've been doing this for 20 years, when you think about doula, like the term to me has been like a like buzzword the last like
it's
5 to
like
10
it's been
years.
Reintroduced.
Yeah. So is it like, so if you've been doing it for 20 years, like why now that people are like, oh my God, I got a doula. I'm getting a doula. Like you hear that everywhere. What's the,
I think there's several reasons for that. And I'll be frank as I always am. I think that there has been a lot of conversation in regards to Black maternal health. And so it's become part of more of a pop culture language.
Okay.
But the reality is that we've always been here. I'm very, very mm-hmm. clear about that. Like I was trained by midwives, Black midwives specifically, who were my mentors coming up through this process. My great grandmother, you know, was a old school healer and herbalist and had her own babies at home and helped other families with having their babies at home because we couldn't go to hospitals. I mean, these are cultures and traditions mm-hmm. that we carried with us when we were forcefully brought here.
Okay.
And so while there's a resurgence of a conversation, mm-hmm. the resurgence of the conversation merely denotes that there is an acknowledgement of the work that we do, mm-hmm. which is also somewhat steeped in white supremacy and institutional racism.
Okay.
Because to say that it's just a recent phenomenon mm-hmm. is to deny all of our history.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So this has always been here. There's nothing new under the sun.
Okay.
I was taught, my folks in our organization were taught, the people that taught me were taught by someone else.
Yeah.
And it keeps getting passed down, and then you push it forward.
Okay.
So it's at each one, teach one.
Yeah.
A lot of folks are talking about it, and it's great. And I'm glad that more folks know that there's the possibilities of being able to have different experiences and right. are feeling repowered by that. I'm very careful to not use empowered, because then that means I'm doing something for someone else. And really, we all come with our own power structure. We all come with our yeah. own internal power. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see that people are becoming repowered mm-hmm. and taking their own family development, whether they choose to make a family or create or what their family looks like, right? That they're taking that into their own hands, and that they're understanding that we're here. But I wanted to be clear about the yeah. fact that, like, it's not new.
Okay.
It's just being discussed more. That's good. There's pros and cons. There's always pros and cons.
Oh, yeah. Because those cons can come with some myths.
Yeah.
Those cons can come with myths. They can come with co-opting. And it's being able to make sure that the integrity of that is, especially for our organization, that the integrity of that is upheld, that okay. we meet people where they are.
Gotcha. What's the difference for people that don't know? What's the difference between a midwife and a doula?
Sure. So primarily doulas are the support persons.
Okay.
But it can be a very integral part of the perinatal support team. Whereas midwives are actual, like, the providers. So midwives are the ones that'll most of the time be the ones that are catching the babies. Now, most of the midwives that I worked with, they're always about, you know, yeah. mom or dad can catch the baby. because that's how I was taught, right? Because yeah. I practice as a home birth midwife as well. Mm-hmm. It was taught that it's about being able to bear witness to the event. We're okay. not actually the ones that are in control.
Gotcha.
We get to have the grace to be there and be a witness to this, right?
Okay.
So doulas work really well with midwives, and they can work really well with OBGYNs who see our value, because we're there to do the in-between, right? Like, we're able to make sure that we can fill in the gaps in between the visits. We're there to make sure that we're there for the entire labor support. So maybe the midwife isn't there immediately at the birth, or maybe the midwife has whether it's at a home or whether it's in the hospital, or the midwife has a couple of clients that are on the floor. We're there directly with that client.
Gotcha.
So... And I know that some of the relationships that we have, in particular, I'm going to shout out OSU Midwives. Mm-hmm. We have a really good relationship with them because they know, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
gotcha.
Okay, I've got two other clients down the hallway. Everybody's good. Okay. Let me know if there's something you need.
That's important.
And you know what I mean? And then they come back and they also labor sit once they're completed with mm-hmm. whomever else that they were taken care of. But we're able to make sure that we're there through that entire process, and we're dedicated to that one family. So we don't have multiple people mm-hmm. on the floor without multiple doulas. Now, we've had a couple of doulas on the from our organization on the floor at the same time, because we've had a couple of clients at the yeah. same time, but each client gets their own doula. So those are really the differences. And I think it's important too, because I know that a lot of folks have been contacting, and that we've, you know, wanting to be able to have births, but just have a doula there. And we're always really clear about how, even when you're looking at having a home mm-hmm. birth, you need to have a midwife, because your doula isn't your midwife.
Gotcha.
Okay. That's an okay. important note to know.
So I understand why you're saying that, but can you tell our listeners why you're saying that you need to have a midwife and a doula?
Because you go through different types of training.
Okay.
You go through mm-hmm. different types of training. So our doulas are trained to basically be what would be considered like the midwifery assistant.
Gotcha.
Right. So it's a little bit of a shorter period. It's a little shorter period of time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come with the same type of skill sets.
Okay.
We have a significant amount of skill sets, and they're a little different than just being trained as a primary birth doula. But we're not a midwife. Midwife goes through, whether it's their certified professional midwives or certified mm-hmm. nurse midwives, they go through a very specific training
yeah.
that constitutes multiple years
yeah.
of work.
Wow.
And so we have to be really, really clear about that. And then when you're getting clear about like insurance policies, those types of things.
I understand.
You know.
Yeah.
It's covered when it's in hospital. It's covered to see a certified nurse midwife. It's not necessarily covered to see a doula.
Okay.
And so they're very different. One is a primary care provider and the other one is a supportive care provider.
Okay.
Well, you kind of helped us go right into the cost type of thing, the cost question. So if I want a doula.
Yes.
Is it affordable? And if it's not, or is it covered by insurance? And it sounds like you said it's not. So then are there programs or
grants? It depends. It can be out of it can be out of network. It can be with them. We're getting a lot of we're making a lot of ground with HSAs.
Awesome.
We are looking to become as an organization and see, and we have to make the distinction because we're an organization. We may have opportunity to be able to become Medicaid provider.
Got it.
But individual in the state of Ohio, and it's different per state. Mm-hmm. It's different per organization. There are some managed care organizations that are really wanting to work with doulas to be able to work through this process, but it's still a process.
Gotcha.
As far as affordability, we never turn anyone away. So I need to be really clear about that too.
Because now, is there's this specific been some conversation. To Root or other? Or
I'm only going to speak about Root. It is not appropriate for me to speak about anybody else's organization.
They're giving out free doulas over there in Texas.
Not free. Not free.
Nothing
because we
for
put
you.
In a lot of work. Yes. However, we do have opportunities for financial support. So through some of the grant funding that we've been able to procure over the last year and a half that we did not have at the beginning of the organization, we're really able to support families where they are. So while they may have to go through a brief financial assessment, when our financial assessment is very different because we also know that there's the gaps. Like we all know how assistance changes, right? Like you can be $5 over, but you've got $600 worth of bills, but you aren't getting any assistance anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're really clear about the fact that that gap needs to be filled. And so we have several different programs that can help with being able to provide that level of financial support to be able to either completely take care of the cost that's associated with having a doula or be able to at least mitigate it in some way.
That's
affordable.
So ladies, if you're listening, the answer essentially is just talk to someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't ever think that you can't afford.
Yes.
Because we leaps and bounds, we will work with you.
That's good because I feel like, again, because it's kind of a hot topic buzzword right now, I feel like some people associate this with like, that's a rich people thing. I can't afford that. It's unfortunate because it really has been. Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but some of these services have not always been easily accessible to us.
Right.
They haven't been easily accessible to us, one, because it was primarily, right.
Yeah.
We don't, one, we don't know about it.
Yeah.
Two, it's been kind of a primarily white institution. You know, we've got, when I first started, there were no black birth workers above ground that were talking about it in the state of Ohio.
Wow.
At the time. Totally changed. Okay. There's so much access. And
that's
it's great.
Good.
I mean, it's just amazing to see. But yeah, there's been this idea and the reality that we couldn't afford it. I mean, $1,600 is a lot of money. And that's what some doulas go for.
And so I love that you keep saying you support the family. What role does the partner have in this kind of?
Absolutely essential.
Tell us more. You know, because I'm thinking, you know, if someone's saying, if I'm the wife, you know, I want a doula one day. You know, I want to get a doula for the next baby. And my husband might be like, but why? Or why?
What about me?
Will you need me in the room? You know what I mean?
No, we're really clear. We're there for the family.
Okay.
And so, you know, the optimal scenario is that we actively engage both parents. Mm-hmm. We're meeting both parents' needs. We meet with both parents. And we're supporting both parents to be able to support one another.
Gotcha.
One of the things that, you know, like one of the things that I say to our folks in our organization when we have these conversations is that, you know, you've done your job and you're no longer needed in the room.
I love it.
That's
when folks are that stable
and
they're that secure and they have their own voice. Because we shouldn't even be stepping in to speak for some. We will if we need, but not speak for, advocate with. Mm-hmm. That's really important.
Yeah.
That's a clear distinction. I appreciate that. That's
absolutely good. So, and we're incredibly dedicated, in particular when we're talking about Black fathers, because the myth around the absent Black father is really BS. And that's, I will just say BS. it's a ridiculous notion. Again, it gets back to these levels of communication. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take into consideration issues in interaction with law enforcement violence. It doesn't take into consideration issues in interaction with, prison pipeline.
Yes.
And it doesn't take into consideration the fact that we as Black women, the statistic is that we are have the highest percentage of single Black females are head of household. But the reality is that there's actually a partner there. We're just not married.
That's a good point. It's inappropriate to say that.
It just that we're a single family household when we actually have a family household. We may have chosen just to not sanction it by the state, but that doesn't, but it doesn't recognize our family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, to be honest with you, I mean, most of our families are fully two parent households. And if they're not fully two parent households, there's engagement with the partner.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's, and that's the story that we want to tell. That's what we want to be really clear about, is that our families are there. Our fathers are intact. We make sure that, you know, when dad, because we've had a couple dads that have had that same question. Like, well, what about me? I'm like, well, it's all about you. Actually, it's all about you.
Like, as you're telling us more about how the doula support the mom and support the family in general, like, I think about my deliveries and I'm going to call my husband, like, you know, you low-key were like my doula, because he was so supportive throughout my deliveries, and he was my advocate. I remember the last baby, he was like, look, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
She's going to be 7 centimeters. Y'all are going to tell her she's not ready to push. She's going to be ready to push.
Because that's how she does. I know this because this is my wife, and I've been with her through this, and we've had this experience. Yes. Absolutely. And so that's where the dualists come into play, is being able to make sure that we support both. And I always give that heads up to dads, too. Like, listen, after this is all over with, she's going to get her oxytocin high, and she's going to feel great. You're going to be tired. That's why we're here for a couple of hours. Take a nap.
Yes.
That's so really you can get ready
though.
Again.
I'm glad you said that.
So you can get ready again, and we'll do this.
Because how many times have you pushed out the baby, and you look over to the right, and you're like, is he knocked out over there? Like, he pushed the baby out?
They get, I mean, obviously, you still get the same, like, rush of love, and it's great, and it's wonderful, but it's different.
It definitely is. I remember going off of my husband, like, wake up! He was like, what happened? I said, wake up.
Right. But then we're there to be able to make sure that everybody's fed. If grandma's there, if you know, other support family members are like, how is everybody doing? We do the check-ins. Is everybody eating? Is everybody drank?
Is
everybody okay?
Love
exactly.
That.
No, it's really, it's very true. You know, my partner in the business, so my co-founders and my partners, I work with Monique McChrystal, but then also Dorian Wingard, father, grandfather, you know.
Yeah.
And the reason that he engaged this with us, and he has a lot of experience and background, and he's also a father and a grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
So this is about all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember we did an episode about fathers and how they feel like the whole parenting experience, they're just left out. Like,
right.
People dismiss them. Like, how's the mom? How's the baby?
Is he watching? Is he babysitting today?
Yeah, and just how the culture, the society just leaves out the father. Like, working moms, what about working dads? They work too.
Right. Like, it is really unfortunate, and we're doing our best to really push back on that as far as support is concerned too, like in the physical support area for postpartum care. That's one of the things that we ask with the families. It's like, let's talk to your mom, whoever you know is going to be involved, so that we can be really clear. You need to be in the bed with mom and baby.
Yeah.
And resting and eating.
Yeah.
So here are the things that are really good. Like, we don't necessarily need the family members always want to come in and hold the baby. And I'm not saying anything against it. But what I am going to say is that here are the things that are most helpful. And I address that with, like, their parents too. Like, remember, it's your baby having a baby. So you still need to take care of your baby.
Yeah.
Mm.
Your baby needs food. Your baby needs the kitchen cleaned up. Your baby needs the laundry done.
Say it louder.
You know what I'm
saying?
Put
the people in the back.
Right. These are the things that your baby needs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Address those things first, because your babies need to be with their baby.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. So we talked about, we kind of talked about before the baby's here, and then we talked about now delivery. I love that you mentioned you stay with the families for a year and maybe up to 5 years. That's really important, and I think we should kind of talk about for our listeners, because for me, I didn't get postpartum anxiety until my child was about 6 months old, and I didn't realize what the heck was going on because of that. So it would have been nice to have somebody like a doula there to kind of say, hey, girl, you can still have postpartum depression and anxiety, because they only call you about a month or so after. The doctor will call you about a month after you have the baby.
We start doing evaluation immediately.
And then you're like done.
Yeah, we start doing evaluation immediately, and we actively engage the partners during the pregnancy and explain to them what are some of the things that you can be looking for, because it won't be her that can recognize it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is attached to, and this comes from my own experience with having postpartum depression and not really understanding or recognizing the symptoms until I was about 6 months.
Wow.
And being in a situation that was different, but having a partner that just didn't understand and was like, why can't you get it together kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so being really clear that, like, it doesn't always look like depression crying sitting in the bed.
Right.
It could be that she's up at 3 o'clock in the morning rearranging the cupboards.
Wow. Yeah.
There's something to be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
The getting meticulous about making sure that everything is in order and barely sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Those are things that need to be looked at as well. And they're not something that immediately happens. And the second phase of that is that if you've got a situation where moms are actively breastfeeding, we do see a decrease in postpartum depression once you get through those first couple of weeks of what is like the transition in hormones.
Mm-hmm.
But when moms start to decide that they're going to wean, there's another period because again, you're having another hormonal transition.
Absolutely.
You're also having maybe a little bit of the morning of, I know that this is time for us, this works,
mm-hmm.
but this phase is done and I'm moving into the next phase.
Yeah.
And so really needing to be really clear about that. And that is one of the reasons why we stress, like, let's try to we need to stay in relationship for a year, and understood that people go back to work and they get in their own routine, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe it's not as close.
Right.
Maybe it's not every single week, but we do need to be doing check-ins. Like some of my folks that I've worked with before, and I know just with us period in the organization, will say things, you know, like we'll do the check-ins like, hey, I haven't heard from you in like 3 weeks.
I love it.
What you doing?
Yeah.
You good? You need anything? Let's
have
lunch.
What you need, 'cause you don't
I'll come to work.
Know. You don't, you know what always I mean? Know what you need. And absolutely. Then to have somebody there to kind of recognize, looking from the outside in that third eye, essentially. So that's
right.
Awesome. We talked about the benefits of having a doula. We talked about cost. Is there anything you think we should leave our listeners with as far as information or next steps if they're thinking
absolutely.
About doing this?
Absolutely. One is, even if you're just thinking about having a family, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Start doing your research now. This isn't something that you want to do in later pregnancy.
Gotcha.
This is something that you really want to do for your own repowering and taking the steps for what it is that you want for you and your family and what that looks like.
Uh-huh.
And so I can give you our information for Root is www.root, that's R-O-O-T-T, the letter R-J for reproductive justice, .org. And you can contact us through our website. We also have a Google line that you can call into. We normally return phone calls within 24 hours, 614-398-1766. And then just to be really clear about all of your options that you have. So yes, I'm going to speak on our organization, but understand that you do have options. And organizations like ours, and there's other organizations out there as well, but organizations like ours make sure that we do that time to be able to speak with you and figure out whether or not it's somebody in our organization that can serve you best, or if we need to make a referral to someone else. And we're going to do our best to not leave you out in
that's
the loop.
Good.
You know,
that's awesome.
You know, we're a small organization. We don't get the same level of resources as some of these larger organizations do. And so sometimes it does take a little bit of time for us to get things together, but we will always get things together. And
okay.
we will always make sure that we stay in communication with you. And again, like I said, our return phone call time is typically within that 24-hour period so that we can at least get started with hearing what your story is.
Gotcha.
And what it is that you're looking for and what you need, and then trying to figure out a plan from there. We've got a great folks on our staff that are all incredibly dedicated. Mm-hmm. Like it's creation of family. It is creation of the village. So we're here.
Yeah. Awesome. I wanted to ask, you spoke a little bit about it earlier, but the importance of Black doulas, why is that so important and why is it so relevant now? I already know the answer, but and I see you smiling, but I would like you to hit on it because it's something that's in the news often. And I think, especially for new mothers, it's something that they need to be aware of.
I had a conversation with somebody when I was in Toledo. I was working with a physician there that was actually from D.C. And she looked at me at this conversation that we were having. She said, I don't understand why it is that you're communicating the same information that I communicate to my patients and you're having the outcomes that you're having. And I literally pointed to my skin and I said, because I look like my clients. Mm. There's something to be said about being in a situation where you're able to see folks that look like you.
Absolutely.
That may have had the same experiences that you have had, mm-hmm. that may not have had the same experiences that you have had, but can relate in some way to some other possibility. And I'm always really clear about this because you see a lot coming up now with implicit bias training and cultural competency. Yes. We're not a checklist. You can't teach cultural competency. The best you can get to is cultural humility. Mm-hmm. And cultural humility means that you may not be the person to be able to best serve this individual. Mm. And you have to get rid of ego. There can be no ego in this work. And so it is really important for us. And I say that unapologetically. And for the organization overall, it is incredibly important to see more of us mm-hmm. working with us because there's a comfort level there.
Yeah.
Racism is firmly entrenched in every aspect of our society from the most, the most well-meaning person to the person that is the most overt.
Yeah.
And we don't have time for apologies or to have to explain because having to explain creates higher levels of stress as well. And that puts more responsibility on us to be able to teach somebody else when we're in one of the most vulnerable spaces of our life.
Absolutely.
And what we're saying is that we shouldn't have to do that. We should be able to just be able to sit with one another and treat one another like us, right?
Sis.
And remove it. That's it. Right, exactly. And remove that aspect. Because we don't necessarily have to have those same conversations. Well, why do you think that this happened to you the last time? Well, because I have to work in an environment where I have to perform at 120% versus my white counterpart. That's why I got sick and stressed out.
Say that again.
You know what I'm saying?
I was that mom. I've been there, y'all.
Right. She and there's an understanding.
Real. It's real.
Yeah. There's an understanding.
Literally
we have
crying
more of that
before meetings.
Right.
Trying to figure out, just get it together.
Right. And there's a more of an understanding. There's the unspoken. Okay. Knowing between us that we have. Because we know we have to walk out here every single day and deal with things that other folks don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why. Black doulas are important. Go Black doulas.
Yes. Hashtag go Black doulas.
Are there any myths that you need to debunk about doulas for people that are still like, sounds good, but I don't know if I need all that? Or like, I mean, even sometimes in movies, it's like this super, like, really cheesy spiritual, like.
Oh, let me tell you. When I first thought of a doula, you have to have the baby at home in a pool.
No, no. So doulas are there to support all aspects of every type of birth situation, and it's all about what you want. We give you the information. We believe an informed decision, not informed consent, informed decision. This is what an epidural does. This is what a potential C-section could look like. This is what it means to VBAC. This is what it means to have an unmedicated vaginal birth. You know, I'm not even saying natural because, like, birth is birth. Right?
Ooh, I like you know, that. Changing
you,
my mindset.
Right. You know, if you prefer that you want to do, you know, if you want somebody that's more into yoga and meditation, and we have that, right? Mm-hmm. If you want somebody that's more into yoga and meditation and also understands and recognizes the value of potentially having an epidural when, you know, you've been in labor for 20 hours and you're tired.
Honey, okay.
Okay.
See you not mean,
we have that too.
Like I'm done. Tap, tap, tap you out.
So no, right. You know, if you want to have sage burning and candles, yeah, we got you. If you want to labor at home longer than laboring in the hospital, we'll stay at home with you as long as possible. The rule is we don't deliver babies in cars. So if we say it's time to go, It's time to go. We don't deliver babies in cars. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, debunking of the myth of like that it's, let me put it this way. Our doulas are really grounded in being able to bring together the clinical, the ethical, the legal, the comfort, the spiritual, the mental. All of those things are necessary. And each individual client dictates what aspects seem to be the most important to them.
Yes.
And we focus on that. So no, it's not just.
I know you said don't use empowering, but it is empowering for me because it's just.
You're not about to have no kids, though.
I'm not. I'm done. I'm done.
But you can tell other people.
But I can tell other people because you just assume this is what the doctor said. I have to deliver here. This is where the doctor delivered. You just don't even think. You have options.
You always have options. You always have options and you always have choice.
Being a black woman, we don't always believe that we deserve certain luxury. Like this sounds like, you know, when you hear doula, like you said it, you have to be rich. This is a luxury. But it's not. It's really about you. It's really about what you want for you and your family. And I love that you have the power to say what options you want and what you need and what you don't need. And just I really hope that our listeners can now go out there with an informed decision and decide what they want to do, whether they want to have utilize a doula service or not, but just knowing that they have options. And because a lot of us just don't know. We
always have options. You always have choice. There are other healthcare providers that are out there. If you're not getting what it is that you need to have met, find somebody else.
Thank you so much for joining us. You've been very informative.
Thank you.
I'm sure that our listeners are like, okay, light bulbs clicking on, hopefully. Again, if anyone would like to reach out to Jessica, she left her contact info, and we will leave it in the show notes as well.
Yes.
Thank you. You both have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Thank you.
This is Real Moms 2. I'm Sia Chekwa. I'm sorry, Alana. I'm Sia C.
And I'm Alana P.
Blah, blah, blah. Bye.